making yourself more agreeable. Winning people over by pretending to be interested in them is part of a bigger project, trying to become a more likable person. How do you react when you believe thought that you can find love and approval by making yourself more likable? If the person you are doesn't seem to be attracting enough interest, it seems natural to make some changes to modify your appearance and your personality until you hit the right combination and become more appealing. Most people begin with the physical. Try not dozens of variations of outfits, hairdos, makeup, diets, walks, and facial expressions. This progresses to figuring out when to smile, when to make eye contact, when to laugh, when to talk, when to keep quiet, and what opinions to have. A built-in part of developing a personality that's designed to please is constantly watching for signs that you're succeeding. This can be a stressful way to live. Anxiously focusing on the other person, checking for approval or disapproval, leaves nobody at home in yourself, nobody noticing your thoughts or taking responsibility for your feelings. Living like this, away from home, cuts you off from the source of real contentment. The outward focus also leaves unnoticed and unquestioned the inevitably painful thought that if you have to transform yourself to find love and approval, there must be something wrong with the way you are.
I thought I had him convinced that I was intelligent, well-read, interesting, smart, and even brilliant. I devoted our entire one-month relationship to this pursuit. He told me he didn't want to see me again. When I asked him why, he said he was looking for someone less intense, someone more open, even someone simple, not so smart. After I got over the blow to my pride, I realized that the real me could have been a perfect match.
Minding your manners. Manipulation often happens without anyone intending to do it or even noticing. For instance, in the excitement of new friendships or love affairs, you may find yourself bending your likes and dislikes to win the approval of other people, whether or not other people have expressed their own likes and dislikes. Do you find yourself saying yes when you mean no? Are you really sure it's okay? Oh yes, no problem. I'll sit in the back seat with your three wet golden retrievers. When you start noticing it, you'll find that polite behavior is full of approval seeking, disguised as consideration. Politeness and tact are supposed to be about consideration for others. But notice how often they are really about trying to control the impression you make. When you say thank you, are you handing someone a token or are you expressing real gratitude? When you're being polite, are you living your part or just playing it? The difference to notice here is the difference it makes to you. For example, many people find it difficult to receive a kind remark or a gift. The focus on reciprocating right away, even with the thank you, can keep you from fully receiving. Wanting to appear polite can prevent you from entering the state of gratitude where anxiety and separation disappear. When you feel real gratitude, it shows without effort. Whether or not anyone notices is up to them. But if they do notice, they receive a much bigger gift, not small words and gestures, but gratitude itself. People become very open in the presence of gratitude. Soon they want to give you everything. Things get out of control and love appears. You can see this clearly with a hug. You don't experience the hug you're getting if you're trying to hug back. Trying to give back right away can be refusing the gift. When you really receive it, you feel the arms around you, you feel the body, and you feel the love inside you. The receiving is the giving. It's the most genuine thing you can give back. That's what they wanted to give you in the first place. Tact. Once you begin to notice your own approval-seeking, the social niceties you find yourself engaged in become good opportunities for learning. Often tact means pretending not to notice when someone makes a mistake during his performance. For instance, when a colleague gets a famous name wrong while trying to impress you with his connections. Sometimes tact means simply trying to avoid offending someone. That's how people get involuntarily stuck together at social events. One person is talking about politics because he thinks that's what the other is interested in, and the other is trying to look interested. Both are bored, uncomfortable, and aware that they aren't doing well at their pretending. They are stuck because neither one questions the thought that it would give offense to say, "Enough about politics, let's talk about something else." So instead of discovering what they have in common, they struggle on searching for potential rescuers out of the corners of their eyes. Even good friends can fall victim to tact. Suppose you are playing your violin for your boyfriend and he's pretending to like it in order to please you. As you watch him, he breaks character for a moment and his smile looks pained. That's his tactless lapse into honesty. Your expression changes as you notice his lapse, and that's your tactless lapse, letting him know that you noticed. But you both behave as if nothing happened. You struggle through to the end of your performance. You've been having a difficult time with the high notes, allowing your boyfriend to finish his performance of enjoying it. Each of you wants to support the other in the job of pretending. Why bother with all this complicated pretending? There's no reason. You do it because neither of you has questioned the belief that your relationship depends on play-acting and couldn't stand up to honesty. You walk on eggshells around each other because you don't even realize there's another option.